right, Jenna Cameron, Adam Kaplan from San Fran, Super Bowl 50 in a couple of days. The action out here and, well, some technical difficulties over the last 5-6 minutes. Glad to be back. Hopefully we're all good moving forward. And a lot to cover tonight. We'll do so with you on the phone lines at 610-632-0975. We're not even sure where exactly we were cut off. Adam and I in the midst of, well, we hope it was great radio.
Well, here's the thing. Here's what I was talking about.
Yes.
This week is not so much about the game. It's about big picture issues around the National Football League. And when you talk to people on Radio Row, it's like they want to know about, what do you think about this situation? What do you know about this situation around the league? It's less about the two teams. As I said earlier, very few interviews I've done this week have been about the Panthers or the Broncos. It's kind of the way it is. Now, unless if you had the Patriots versus Seahawks again,
right,
something like that. We have two marquee teams, one team that's hated like the Patriots, and Seahawks are a great football team, something like that. But Peyton Manning, Joe, is literally on his last legs. This is probably going to be it for him. But then you have the superstar Cam Newton. Why aren't more people talking about him? It's just that team is not marquee yet, but I'll tell you what, they had a great season.
They did, very much so. Phone lines open for you, 610-632-0975. Adam, it is interesting how many people out here are asking us about Chip Kelly. I mean, Chip is still a major topic for obvious reasons. And obviously, you and I being from Philly, and everyone wants to know about Chip.
That has been a big subject this week on a lot of interviews, as I said earlier, from people who know that I hail from Philly. And I've talked about Chip Kelly before, as you and I have talked about Chip for basically 4 months and how the situation with Chip imploded. I think when you look at the big picture thing about Chip Kelly, the intrigue is now gone. The bloom is off the rose. People now know that Chip is not who they thought they were. But from a national perspective, there's so much intrigue with this guy. Then you come to a great organization like the 49ers, who are a little bit on the downward trend.
Yeah.
Can Chip and the 49ers resurrect their careers? That's basically what people have been asking me all week. And my response has been, I don't know if he's a guy that looks at himself and says, I have to change or I have to adjust. You were the first person really to bring that up probably in late September, early October from your film study with Jaws. As we saw, as the season progressed, he didn't really adjust very much. And when he did, as I told you would happen, he would be temporary. So now we fast forward to right now with the Niners, who, when you look at their team, they're built with defense. If you look at their defensive personnel, way better than the offensive personnel. So Chip's got a job on his hands. You know, yes, he's an offensive guy, but he's not going to make the personnel decisions here. Trent Baalke will do that. And people want to know, can they win in year one? I don't think so. I think this is a rebuild. I think there's some good young talent on defense. Offensively, they got to find themselves. And then I think the other thing is with Chip, with his coaching staff, you know, I think what happened in Philly also, something we didn't really talk very much about. I think the coaches didn't do a great job, this past season especially. You talk all you want about personnel, but also coaching's got to be better. And this is on Chip. He makes the calls on his coaching staff. He controls that. He's got to do a better job of not just coaching his players, but coaching his coaches. That is sort of the underrated part, Joe, of coaching.
All right, 610-632-0975. We obviously also have a lot of Eagles-oriented conversation tonight for obvious reasons. And two things in particular really standing out today centered around the Eagles. The first is about DeMarco Murray. And the second is about the quarterback position, whether it's Sam Bradford or someone else in the future. Let's start first with DeMarco Murray and a report from the NFL Network today. And I'll just read it as follows. Quote, the former NFL rushing leader and his team are not in a good place. In fact, the Eagles and Murray appear headed toward a stare down regarding his future with the organization, according to several sources informed of the situation. Murray doesn't feel completely comfortable with the organization, his role, and how 2015 played out. He was a target for fans' angst, and it never improved on the field. It's fair to say Murray has eyes on greener pastures, places where he believes he can be successful and earn the large contract he signed. If he was released, teams like the Seahawks, Cowboys, and Raiders, who were interested in him last offseason, would be interested again. He is currently building a house in Dallas. Again, that from the NFL Network. Now, there's some juicy stuff in there. Adam, what insight, what perspective can you lend on this DeMarco Murray situation? You go back a couple of months ago and, you know, you right here on our show talked about that he and Chip Kelly had that 90-minute sit-down, as you reported. What do you know about this situation? Where is it and where is it? And by the way, DeMarco today on SportsCenter seemed to, you know, talk in a different track than that report indicates. And we'll get to that audio in a moment. So there's a lot of conflicting things out there. What can you tell us to sort of clear up where the situation is?
Yeah, so this is just what I know of the situation, kind of know where DeMarco is and where the Eagles are. First of all, he's got several years left on his contract, 4 more years.
Yep.
So the Eagles control his rights. He controls none of this. DeMarco told PFT Live on NBC today that he's apparently talked to Doug Peterson just about you. There's very little you could talk football. You're not supposed to talk football with the coaches until April. But apparently that, DeMarco was asked about it. And he said he's spoken to Doug Peterson, expects a more conventional offensive scheme in 2016, which I told you was going to happen. It's the only issue there is are they going to have a fullback or not. But the quarterback will mostly be under center. With Doug Peterson, they're going to run a West Coast offense. But they're still working through how aggressive, although I think Peterson will be aggressive, how much Frank Reich will have an input because Doug's going to call the plays this season. But getting back to DeMarco's situation, I'm going to add a little perspective of my early reporting and kind of what's out there. So when DeMarco had his 90-minute meeting with Chip, it wasn't supposed to be very long, but there was a lot of back and forth between Chip and DeMarco. But the one thing that I found interesting that Chip said, now you never know with Chip if he's really meant what he said, but as was relayed to me by someone who knows exactly what was going on in that meeting, Chip did, remember I said on our show back then, Chip never promised him anything, despite what DeMarco thought. However, he did say this, and you could call it whatever you want to call it. We're not trading you, and we're not going to cut you. He did tell him that. Now, that would be fast. If Chip had still been the coach, that's kind of what he told him. He goes, listen, I can't deal with this right now. We're trying to get in the playoffs. We're trying to coach. I can't change my scheme or make adjustments right now. We're going to do what we're going to keep doing what we're doing. And, DeMarco had to live with it. Remember when I said that this is a guy who's got a lot of pride here. He's just not going to sit there and take all this money and not be given a chance to perform.
And that's good.
Yeah.
I want him.
He's very competitive,
I want him to be hurting. I want him to want to be better.
Talking to people that really know him well, that's the thing that I've really learned about him.
Okay.
Is that he's super competitive. And it bothers him that he can't. It's not about earning his contract. He's a big, hey, I'm here. Use me. And as he's made very clear, he did in some interviews here, he was never comfortable and he actually, as a matter of fact, he told Chip this, that, we talked about how you were going to use me, and you did to a certain extent, but it didn't really work. Now what are you going to do for me? And that's when Chip said, listen, I can't deal with this right now. We're going to deal with this after the season's over. We're going to talk about it and try to figure this out. And that's when he said, listen, you may or may not be happy, but we're not trading your cut.
Staggering to me that a coach, though, would say, I'm not going to deal with this right now. It's like, dude, you got 4 or 5 games left in the season. You're fighting.
They're trying to get in the playoffs.
You're fighting for the playoffs. What do you mean you're not going to deal with it? It's your job to deal with it.
Again, I'm paraphrasing.
Right, but you know what I'm saying. I mean, that really, in many ways, I think, sums up some of the failures of Chip Kelly.
Hang on. Remember, this meeting was somewhere around 90 minutes. Chip explained why. He said, listen, I hear you.
Yeah, he acknowledged everything. He was stubborn. That's why.
Okay, let me go back to that. That's stubbornness.
I'm not changing my office.
Right, that's stubbornness, though. That's stubbornness. Remember when you said, hey, you gave that number out, how many plays that Sam Bradford was under center?
Right.
And how many were actual runs and passes? Almost every play that Sam Bradford was under center last season was a run. I mean, it's great. I mean, the predictability of that offense. Fast forwarding, now you talk about Chip. We'll say in San Francisco, we'll have to see. But one more thing on Murray. They're not going to cut him. No matter what, they're not going to cut him. The bonus acceleration is bad. It's just the dead money. Yeah. It wouldn't work. The Eagles, listen, he's under contract for a long time. Now, let's just say this. If Murray happened not to be on the football team, you've got Darren Sproles, who's got 1 year left on his deal. He's a change of pace running back. He can't handle a lot of work. Ryan Matthews has come off of groin surgery, who played very well when healthy. You can't depend on him. They're back at square one at running back again. So the coaches have to make a decision how he fits in. That's something Doug Peterson and Frank Reich have to figure out.
All right, you said something very interesting a couple of minutes ago. It strikes me like this might be at the heart of the matter now. Because the Chip stuff, as much as we get a kick out of talking about it because it's so ridiculous and relevant from a past standpoint, what matters now is the present and the projection toward the future. And you made a comment there that the team, the organization, is not allowed to talk to DeMarco Murray about what you called, football, quote, unquote, football. Now, and again, per the collective bargaining agreement, I can certainly imagine that that causes any number of issues. Because, for instance, if you're DeMarco, you basically, what you probably want.
Clarity
and an assurance of what is your role in what structure offense.
Exactly. Because that's what I mean. That's what I'm trying to tell you.
He was used poorly last year. Everybody knows that. So all you want is that answer. So are you, just to get down to this, are you saying that essentially the Philadelphia Eagles, in NFL legal terms, rule terms, are not allowed to tell him, DeMarco, our intention is, A, to use you a lot, B, to have you start, and C, to have you run in an offense more along the lines of the type of offense that you utilized in Dallas? Are they not allowed
They're not supposed to talk football. They're really not supposed to. The fact that one coach told me... I know, it's the most ridiculous thing. I remember one coach telling me that, like, if you ran into a if you walked into a room and you saw a player there, you could only say hi to him. Hey, what's going on? What are you doing? Okay, great. Good seeing him. Bye. Until April. I mean, they're very restrictive. So, in his interviews today, I don't know what he said. I actually ran into DeMarco, but I wasn't talking about this stuff. But I didn't hear the context of the question that he was asked, but I just saw the text of his response in that interview, and it's interesting. So he did somehow, Doug Peterson related to him, kind of what they're thinking, but I don't know how this came up. The bottom line is, to sum this up, my understanding was, to end the season, had Chip left there, he was all about getting clarity, as we just talked about. That was his big thing, because he wanted to know, if I'm going to be here, can you let me know how you're going to use me? But Chip got fired, so that's out the window. You have a new personnel staff, and we'll get into that. You have a new coaching staff. They inherited this football player. Mm-hmm. Okay, this is not someone they really, you know, they weren't here, so we don't really know what Peterson, well, Deuce Daly had him, but Doug Peterson, who's the head coach and play caller, really feels about him.
All right, there's a lot going through my mind, one of which is, if the Eagles really can't say that and aren't willing to break the rules, then I would think it would make sense that they publicly, for instance, when doing an interview like Peterson did with Mike a couple of days ago, they should just put it out there. I mean, let the world know their intention is with DeMarco, so that DeMarco gets the information.
Yeah, you're right. Doug should. I didn't hear the interview, right, but Doug should have. You make a good point, but here's the thing. He has to do that. Doug has to do that, because you're talking about one of the key, to me, if he's on the team, he's one of the key players in offense. For them to be a good football team, to even be a 500 team, he's got to be a factor.
Has to be. All right, let's hear what DeMarco Murray said today, a couple of hours ago on ESPN, talking about this situation.
There's a lot of different things. I'm not going to put it on the coach or the scheme. You know, it's obviously, you know, it's up to the players that, you know, ultimately make things happen. And I think, you know, it was a, you know, kind of a full circle of things that just, you know, weren't right. And we're heading in the right direction. And, you know, I mean, obviously, you know, for me personally, I'm a guy that looks in the mirror first and, you know, I'll take the blame. And, you know, and I'm going to work hard. I'm going to be a lot better than I was. And, you know, moving forward, you know, I think that's something I'll take to heart.
Well, that is a guy that wants to be in Philly. I think he really does. But I think he still needs a little bit of clarity.
And that's fair.
Yeah, I don't think... Listen, I don't think we really know right now exactly how they plan to use him.
All right, let's get to... And 610-632-0975. Let's get to the quarterback situation.
Yes.
Because this today was probably even more interesting. Doug Peterson on Comcast earlier talking about a wide range of topics surrounding the Eagles. And when he speaks about these issues, he drops in a comment about the quarterback position, which, look, it obviously kind of put an antenna up on a lot of people that said, well, huh, that's kind of interesting, talking about a young quarterback. Is he talking about a developmental guy later in the draft? Is he talking about a guy higher in the draft? What's going on here? Listen to Peterson's sort of just wide-ranging comments, but focus on what he says about the quarterback position.
I think the pieces are there. Great talent on defense. You know, the strength probably of this football team is the defensive line, linebackers. Tremendous talent there. I think the skill guys are as good, if not better, than most of the National Football League. And there's guys there that have made a lot of plays, young guys that have made some great plays for this organization. Re-signing a guy like Zach Ertz is I was excited to get he and Brent Celek both wrapped up, Lane Johnson wrapped up. So, you know, you start just kind of filling in a hole here, a hole there, get some depth here, you know, get you a young quarterback possibly, and then you just start developing your talent and you see what happens after that.
A hole here, a hole there, get you a young quarterback possibly. Now, I will just say this. Common sense to me, Adam, says that he's not referring to an A.J. Feely there. I don't think when you talk big picture on the franchise, that you say, well, I've got this, I'm looking at this starter, I'm looking at this starter, I'm looking at this, blah, 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 boom, boom, boom. And then, by the way, we want to get the next A.J. Feely so that we can develop a guy to become a backup for the next 6 years. I think he's talking about the starting position. It wouldn't make sense that he's talking about a backup. So for him to sort of on his own go to the concept of, you know, get a young quarterback possibly, I took that as a very intriguing comment about what he and they might be thinking about Sam Bradford.
Number one, I'm just going to go back to what I said last week when you asked me the question. My response was, no big deal with Bradford. I see franchise tag or he walks. Franchise tag's a one-year deal. The value that teams are working on is $19.5 million for the non-exclusive tag, which Bradford, if he gets it, he's not getting the exclusive tag, which is more money. There's zero chance that would happen.
Define what that means, exclusive.
Yeah, exclusive. What happens is if the non-exclusive tag, the number would be $19.5 million, and then another team could offer, you know, obviously they give up two first-round picks to sign him. No team's doing that for a broken-down quarterback. Mm-hmm. The guy that's got upside but's had injury issues.
Who determines that he's exclusive or non-exclusive?
And then the Eagles do. That's how you tag the player.
The Eagles determine that.
You use a transition tag where you have no right of first refusal. You have non-exclusive tag. You could, if you're another team, you could offer, you know, you sign him to a franchise tender, whatever contract you want to offer him, and the Eagles have the right to match. If they decline, they get two first-round picks. There's zero chance that would happen. So basically, he gets a non-exclusive tag or he walks. Again, as I said last week, it's my understanding now they've not made any decisions. Let me go to what Doug just said. Agent, listen, at the press conference when he was introduced, he talked glowingly about Bradford, how he wanted to look forward to working with him. He's a rookie head coach. Be careful reading too much into something. But I do know this. Everyone's evaluating the college quarterbacks hard there.
The Eagles are?
Yes. So just don't read into anything when coaches speak. Rookie head coaches say things. You know, people try to read it. We do this in the media. We read into everything, and I get it. But it won't be Doug's call. Which brings us into the next subject.
Okay, but hold on, don't you find what he said on his own?
Yeah.
Sort of like...
It's revealing a little bit. Revealing, that he didn't come out and say, listen, I want Sam to be our guy. This is what I would have done. I hope Sam's our guy. It's not my call, but I would like to work with him further. And then he could have said, hey, but, you know, we definitely have to look at also developing a younger quarterback. That's almost what he said. That's the way I would have done it. He said it in a different way.
Yeah, but if he really wants Bradford to be his guy, and he's trying to essentially woo Bradford, then you don't want to say what you just said.
No, but I'm trying to say what he said a little better way.
Yeah,
He kind of like said, well, you know, we might look at a younger...
But to me, that's the mindset. Right. You know what I'm saying? Like, I know we have to be careful about what to assume and how to read in. But I'm just telling you, we do read into comments because it does reveal a certain degree of mindset, unless it's incredible misdirection, which sometimes coaches and general managers put out there. I read that and I interpret. My hear of that is, boy, I don't think the Eagles are about to sign Sam Bradford to a 5-year contract.
I'm telling you, I told you last week, I don't see it happening. I just don't see any way it's going to happen. They're signing to a long-term deal. I could be wrong, but I never felt that way from day one. But I felt that it would really come down to, as a GM explained to me, when you're trying to evaluate these situations, he said that you have to know what, it's a little early, but you have to feel like when you're, I think they have a 13th pick overall in the first round. Yeah. You have to feel like, first of all, how are you ranking these quarterbacks? Is the quarterback on your roster better than the ones that are in the draft? If so, you make sure you keep him. Now, long-term, you have to also determine how long do you want this guy. Let's say they decide to keep Bradford on a franchise tag. That doesn't preclude them from drafting a quarterback. But you certainly would not spend a first-round pick on a quarterback if you're keeping Bradford this season.
Unless, though, you don't really believe in Bradford long. See, that's the thing.
Unless you want him to be like the one-year solution and then let him walk.
Yeah, I think the thing about...
It's a lot of money to pay
for. Well, it
year.
Is. But to me,
for
the
under that.
The crux of the Bradford thing that's so fascinating is he's better than those available, but he just doesn't seem like he's good enough to be great enough for the team to be great. So, again, and I've used this example.
I don't even, see, here's the
Adam,
problem.
I've used this example a million times. Yeah. Andre Iguodala. To me, it's Andre Iguodala all over again. Am I better with Iguodala than without him? Yes. But am I good enough with Iguodala as the guy, as the centerpiece guy, to go win with? And the answer was, is, and always will be no. Iguodala's a nice piece on a team that's got far better players.
It's long,
State.
It's macro.
Same thing
Joe,
here.
It's macro view. Big picture, next 4 to 5 years, can we win with this guy?
That's the question.
That's it.
That has to determine your
That's
approach.
It. I'm agreeing with you, but here's the problem with that. This is what I was going to get to.
Yep.
The guard play was so horrendous last season, and you saw the tape.
We're talking about the Sixers or the Eagles.
Well, that's funny. No, I love Ishmael, but anyway, I digress. Here's the issue. Jason Kelce, as you pointed out right. many times on our show, did not play at his usual level. He had a disappointing season.
Right.
So the interior of their offense was so bad. Are you going to put this on all on Sam Bradford? He didn't have a good first half of the season. We all know that. He closed the season very, very well. So if they rebuild this offensive, the interior, with two better guards, do you want to take a look at this guy? Don't you? See, to me, he left me wanting to see more. That's a term that scouts use. He played at such a solid level. I'm like, you know what? Now I want to see. This is the guy that the Eagles thought they were getting, you know? And they're not. So,
well, let me ask you this, and I know you're not reporting this because you're not in a position to report, but mm-hmm. just from an opinion standpoint, because you're essentially saying you see very little chance of a long-term contract.
Which we would be stunned.
Okay, seriously. Which I'm glad to hear because yeah. I don't want him to sign a long-term contract. Do your instincts tell you more likely that he is franchised or they say, hey, Sam, you're a nice guy, we like you, but we don't
That's
like you
That's still being
enough.
Evaluated, Joe.
Bye-bye.
Yeah, the decision to keep or let Sam walk is still, again, being evaluated to sum this thing up. It's not an easy decision. You know, fans are acting like, well, this guy's had so many injuries. You can't pay a guy just off of 5 or 6 games. Well, as I said earlier, the way NFL people evaluate the situation is, tell me who we're going to be able to get, and then I can evaluate them. Well, there are only 3 guys that you would be looking at, Paxton Lynch, Jared Goff, and Carson Wentz, who they spent a lot of time with. I mean, a lot of time with at the Senior Bowl. So, not that that really matters. I mean, as I said on our show, interviews don't really matter at the Senior Bowl, but this is a good time if you have a senior quarterback you like, or at least you think has got a chance to go to top 10, try to talk to the guy a bit, and I know they spent a lot of time with him, but the bottom line is, that's the decision here. And if they can't get Wentz to me, the early word, by the way, the early word with NFL people, up to about last Friday, is that Wentz is the best player in this draft. Mm. People that I really respect.
Best player or best quarterback?
Best player.
Best player.
One guy told me he thinks he's better on a value because he's a quarterback better than Joey Bosa. I thought that was a little bit strong. Someone I really respect.
What do you make of the fact
But it's too early for me.
What do you make stuff. Of the fact that Tennessee is obviously not going to be
in a
position.
They're
not taking a quarterback. They have the number one pick. I mean, you got to think.
When they take Bosa, they trade it. I mean, it's simple as that.
Could be a high probability of a trade, right? Yeah. I mean, higher than.
Obviously. But here's the problem. You need to entice people. You know, if someone wants Carson Wentz, whoever it is, whether it's Jared Goff or Lynch, I don't think Lynch is right now, I think Lynch is the third quarterback. But if somebody wants a quarterback, it's up for sale. Or you take Joey Bosa. Mm-hmm. You know, things could change. His team still evaluate these players. Bosa, most people think Bosa's top 3 or potentially the number 1 pick. But as teams get into Carson Wentz, as now coaches get into the evaluation process, once they're getting into it, they love Wentz. I've talked to a bunch of coaches around the National Football League who think Wentz has a chance to be a star, but we're just starting February.
All right, Joe DeCamera, Adam Kaplan, we are in San Francisco, host city for Super Bowl 50. Of course, the game coming up on Sunday, Denver and Carolina. Our coverage out here this week, all week, is brought to you by Family and Company Jewelers. They are in Marlton, New Jersey. You've been hearing me talk about them for months now. They are phenomenal at what they do. The Delaware Valley's largest diamond destination. We'll get to the Eagles front office, the interesting components to that entire situation. But let's get to the phones right now. 610-632-0975, whether it's Bradford, whether it's DeMarco Murray, any and all of these Eagles issues and league issues as well. It is, again, Super Bowl week. We go to the phones. We kick it off with Stan in Drexel Hill. Stan, what's going on, man? You're on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Hey, Adam, Joe. How you guys doing tonight, man?
Good, man. How are you?
Yeah, I'm good, man. Thanks. I think just a quick touch on what you said earlier about, like, people asking you questions about what's going on throughout the league and not the Super Bowl. I think in general, as Super Bowls continue on, I think the whole spectacle of the offseason and almost every sport, I think, is so enticing and exciting to people that you get more excited about the unknown than what you're going to see, you know, in a couple of days. You know,
I agree with you. Yeah.
Whether you're picking Carolina to win or the Broncos to win, either way, you know there's going to be an outcome in comparison to where is this guy got to go? Are they going to draft this guy? Are they going to trade this guy? What are they going to do? You know, it's like the whole circus, if you want to call it, is just so alluring, and your eyes are glued to the TV to see who's going where and who's getting drafted and who's getting traded for what. You know, and as for the Eagles, I don't think Bradford's the solution. I don't even want him for a year. And the reason why is because you're going to be just average enough to maybe make the playoffs and get bounced in the first round. Whereas if you draft a guy or assign somebody else, whatever you want to call it, if you don't succeed, you still have the next year's draft to get some players, get some pieces, and do what you can. Whereas with Bradford, I just feel like you might be paying too much money for a guy who's going to be just average. Kind of to your Iguodala point. They drafted Iguodala thinking that he was going to be the guy. And he wasn't, and you kind of put yourself in a tough spot. So, me personally, like I said, I'm not really for Bradford. I don't really have too many solutions, but I said this before, and I kind of still stand by it. For me, if you're telling me that you can get a guy, whether it's a free agent like RG3 or whoever, not that he's a free agent now, but I really look at it as more of a high reward, low risk, because I don't know if I want to pay, you know, $20 million for Bradford for a year when
Stan, I think you bring up a lot of good points there. Appreciate the phone call. I mean, a lot to that, man. What do you make of the RG3 thing, Adam? I mean, we're hearing his name more and more. A lot of callers calling. I don't put much stock in it, but...
None. What? Not for Philly? For
yes.
The Eagles? None. No. Absolutely none.
And he goes where? He just goes somewhere?
At best, he goes to compete somewhere for the starting job. He's got to sort of reinvent himself. And he did a good job of staying out of the headlines this past season, but he's a guy that needs a lot of work.
Yeah.
And then what kind of system would he fit in? But I'm just telling you, you better know who, if the Eagles don't keep Bradford, they better, and don't give me this Mark Sanchez nonsense you brought up last week.
Whoa.
He's a backup quarterback, man.
Wait a second, hold on.
Yeah, he could be the guy for 1 year. No, he can't be.
Hold on
a second.
No,
he can't be.
There's not one person in Philly other than knuckleheads.
For 1 year. Said what, a 1 year solution until they can figure out who the next quarterback
is. I'm not saying it's a good solution, but.
That's nonsense. You can't, you're not throwing the towel in for one season.
Hold on.
Forget it.
As opposed to who?
He's a backup.
He's a backup. Do you think I want Mark Sanchez to be the quarterback of the
Eagles? That's not my point.
What's your point?
You suggested that would be the solution. No, it's not.
Well,
go keep Bradford, for goodness sake.
But if Bradford,
who would you rather have, Joey? Come on.
Look, but if they don't keep Bradford, which is a possibility, it's Sanchez or Hoyer or, right? You spin a wheel. It's just,
and that's what you brought up, and you're like, I mean, well,
but how can you not say that Sanchez at least is a guy on that wheel, and he's already in?
He's a fine backup. Remember when I said, Joe?
I'm not advocating for
but here's what you brought up last week, and here was my response, and I'm going to further this discussion. Right. You said, as you just brought up again, you're in the wheel of backup.
Correct.
Wheel,
yeah.
Okay. That's why they're backups for a reason. They're backups.
Right.
Okay?
But if you don't
Brian Hoyer just had a great chance. He didn't do it. He didn't get the job done. Mark Sanchez had an opportunity to revive his career. This is the last chance.
Yeah.
That's it. He's a backup. To me, it's either Bradford or it's a rookie who... Now, the other thing is you have Sanchez, who could be, and this is comical, the Doug Peterson for 5 or 6 games.
That's my point.
Fine.
That's my point.
But this idea that he's going to be the starter this season... Actually, like the whole way, you're going into it like, we're going to wait for the rookie to be ready for year two. No, to me, if Bradford walks, you're spending your first round pick on a quarterback.
Right.
It's either or, period, end of story.
Well, here's the only thing I'll say, though, and I hear what you're saying, but first off, you can never guarantee yourself to get that quarterback. You can try your best, but at pick 13, you can't guarantee it. And I think you're shortchanging the possibility. And again, it's not an intriguing possibility. It's not a good possibility. But the possibility that he's the only guy left standing. I mean, that's just the way I say it.
Well, technically, because he's on a contract.
Well, that's my point.
Yeah, but again, this is Mark Sanchez is a good backup, and that's what he is.
He might not even be a good backup anymore. Let's go to JB on a cell phone. JB, you're on the Fanatic.
Hey guys, great show.
JB, what's up, man?
I mean, I agree with most of what you guys are saying. I hope that they keep Bradford for a 1 year tenure or whatever the easiest solution is. As far as DeMarco Murray is concerned, 2 years ago we would say that we would rather have DeMarco Murray over Kansas City's running back. And if Peterson's going to model this offense anything after Kansas City, he would love to have Murray as the cornerstone back, let him run downhill, which leads me to where I think they would go in the draft. I think they're absolutely foolish at 13 if they don't go after somebody like Vidal Alexander, who's from LSU, who's the most versatile lineman in the draft, because you're not going to get Larry Tunzel, or somebody like Cody Whitehair from Kansas. Like, they're the two best guards, and
I'm not taking a guard. Listen, just one thing. Yeah. There's zero chance you're taking a guard at 13. I mean, that's just not going to. It's not. Yes, they need to upgrade a guard. They're not in a position right now. I don't see. My hair would come out of my head if they drafted a guard at 13. That's not the Danny Watkins of drafting. The days of drafting a guard that high, it slim to none. And then the other thing is, guard is positioned generally around the National Football League. You believe you can get later and develop, like third, fourth round. It's kind of the way personnel people think.
Find the next Evan Mathis, essentially, right? Also,
just middle rounds. But to finish this talk off of kind of what the Eagles ought to do, unless they don't like one of these three quarterbacks, to me, and I know we're ways away from the draft. I didn't think we were going to talk about the draft tonight, but just overall, it's got to be a quarterback to me. Got to be a quarterback. And Doug Peterson talked about it in that interview with Comcast.
But you also...
Eagles' D-line, it's got depth on a 43. It's going to be good.
All right, but hang on. There's something about what you just said, though. It's, to me, another thing to add on. Mm-hmm. You better believe in the quarterback. You better not just take a quarterback because you, quote, need a quarterback. If he's not a guy that can be... I mean, look, there's...
Got to be a franchise. Got to be your cornerstone for 10 to 12. In the first round, it has to be.
You have to believe it. And if you don't, go pick a quality player at a different position and, unfortunately, deal with the QB situation in a later year. Let's go to Ryan on a cell phone. Ryan, you're on 97.5, the Fanatic.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Absolutely, man.
Mr. Kaplan, I could listen to you talk about what the Eagles should do about with their GM decisions pretty much all day. I agree with.
I appreciate that. That's so good. Well, we'll do it for. We're going to talk. Trust me, we've got so much to hit on tonight. But go ahead. What's on your mind?
Well, first of all, the Sanchez thing is nonsense. His career as an intended starter ended when he threw that interception versus the Dolphins. He is going to be a backup for the rest of his career. Nobody in the front office would want him to be the starter for a whole year. Regarding Bradford, I don't see how they could. They have all the power, just like you're saying. They can keep him if they want. They're evaluating the position. They're doing the smart, prudent thing right now. They're looking at their options in the draft. But the way I look at it right now is that the players in the draft, not only is Bradford better than them, by, I think, a lot. I mean, I think his arm talent's great. He's accurate, whatever. But I still think, injuries and all, he has a higher ceiling than most of them. Maybe Wentz has a higher ceiling.
I don't know about that. Yeah, Wentz might be, but go ahead.
And what I think's happening right now is you have a really, I don't know if I'd say aggressive, but a strong agent in Condon who is really lobbying for the best possible return for his client. I think what they're doing is they're saying, listen, we're not going to be strong-armed. We have the power. We're going to make you know we have the power. And every day he gets closer to free agency, that number is going to go down because there's not a team in this league who's going to sink a ton of guaranteed money at a very high salary for Sam Bradford. It's just not going to happen. That's not what happens when players go at his stage in his career to free agency. The only time it's ever really happened is Peyton Manning, and he's
okay. We lost the car. Well, all right. Look, I think we're there's a lot of.
I agree with them. Yeah. Listen, I agree with them. The Eagles control his rights. Tom Condon he's tough to deal with. He's a great agent. He's got all the big time quarterbacks, a lot of them. But to sum the situation up, Eagles control his rights with Sam Bradford. heavily evaluating the quarterback position. We're just in early February here. First up for them is free agency. They've done a great job of re-signing a lot of their key players, which is, by the way, guys and girls, it's part of free agency.
All right, we'll continue to hit all the calls with you till 8 o'clock tonight. Joe DeCameron, Adam Kaplan. Guys, want to tell you about the great people. So good at what they do at PI Dental Center. PI Dental Center in Fort Washington. Are you or someone you know affected by problem teeth? Dr. Balshi, Dr. Wolfinger at the PI Dental Center. They are board-certified prosthodontists who have pioneered dental implant treatment, and they've changed the lives in the process of thousands of people with cosmetic dental improvements. While patients travel across the country to have the PI team correct their so-called unsolvable dental problems. Well, not necessarily unsolvable. PI Dental Center can take care of it. You don't have to travel across the country. Right here in the backyard, if I wasn't 3,000 miles away in the backyard in Fort Washington, PA. If you or someone you know is embarrassed by their teeth, maybe it's you, maybe it's a loved one, a parent, a child, whomever it may be, maybe experiencing an issue right now that needs to be taken care of, call PI Dental Center today. PI Dental Center with the best staff, incredibly helpful to go over everything with you, including financial options. Write this phone number down. 215-646-6334. Once again, PI Dental Center at 215-646-6334. We rock the calls with you till 8 o'clock tonight. Joe DeCamera, Adam Kaplan from San Francisco on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Attention, business owners. Now's the time to save with the Comcast Business Switch and Save event. Call 800-501-6000 now to get 30% off the regular price on the speed you need to download files faster, send large email attachments, process credit card transactions, and more. You'll get fast 25 megabits per second internet for just $69.95 per month when you add phone and TV, our lowest price of the year. But hurry, this offer ends soon. Afraid switching will disrupt your business? With our no-glitch switch, you can choose your installation time, days, nights, even weekends. Plus, you get our 30-day money-back guarantee. Don't miss the Comcast Business Switch and Save event. Get 30% off internet plus our no-glitch switch. Call 800-501-6000 now. Offer ends 3/31/16. Restrictions apply. Limited to one voice line and private view TV for new business customers with two-year contract. Equipment, taxes, fees, including broadcast TV fee extra.
Business owners and professionals face special challenges in divorce court. In addition to everything else going on, they have to contend with allegations that they are earning more than they are, coupled with claims on their business or practice itself.
Attorney CPA Joe Cordell.
An effective defense often hinges on sophisticated strategies, strategies relating to income tax projections, business valuations, spousal support claims. Clients with assets depend on their divorce lawyer's skills in these matters. And that's why it's so important to hire someone that has those skills. By the way, unless you're in Missouri or Illinois, I'm not licensed in your state, but that's okay. Our attorneys in your state are.
Contact Cordell & Cordell to schedule an appointment with one of our firm's attorneys, a partner men can count on. Online at CordellCordell.com. That's CordellCordell.com. Offices in Philadelphia, Radnor, Bluebell, and Exton, Pennsylvania, and Mount Laurel, New Jersey. Michelle Ferrari, licensed in New Jersey and Pennsylvania.
Hey, it's Harry Mays. Now, be honest. Can your windows handle another Philly winter? Don't wait for another storm to hit before replacing your drafty windows. There's still time to install new Window Nation windows in your home. They're specifically designed for our unique tri-state climate. What could be better? How about free windows? Take advantage of Window Nation's Blizzard Meltdown sale. Buy two and get two free. No limit. Buy four, get four free. Plus, pay no interest for 18 months. And did you know the tax credit is back? Get up to a $500 tax credit by putting in new energy-efficient windows. So do what I did. Set up a free estimate at WindowNation.com. Buy two, get two free. There's no limit. Plus, pay no interest for 18 months. Details at WindowNation.com or call 484-394-2993. Be sure to tell them Harry sent you.
Radio listeners and Valentine's Day gift givers, I've got the Valentine's deal of the day for you right here. Sherry's Berries. These gourmet berries are huge and freshly dipped in white and milk chocolatey deliciousness. Then they're covered in decadent toppings like chopped nuts and chocolate chips. Now check this out. So cool. Today only, you can get these gourmet berries plus one dozen gorgeous roses for just $39.99. Yeah, that's right. It's actually 2 days of amazing gifts for your Valentine. Your sweetheart gets beautiful roses on day one and delectable freshly dipped berries on day two, all for just $39.99. That's a fantastic deal, and what an extraordinary gift to give your honey. But you gotta hurry, because this deal expires tonight at midnight. Remember, Valentine's Day is next week, and the only way to get this amazing deal is to go to berries.com, click on the microphone in the upper right-hand corner, and enter secret code 5050. That's berries.com, secret code 5050.
We got the deals, and you need the wheels. Where? At Key of Westchester and Key of Coatesville. Right now, get up to $6,000 over Kelley Blue Book fair market value for any trade. That's crazy! Drive home a new 2016 Kia Forte for just $12,990. And always remember, Jim Cipolla wants to see you in a Kia. Visit Key of Westchester or keyofcoatesville.com.
Qualified buyers plus tax and tag. Negative equity refinance. Dealer retains all factory rebates. Offers don't combine. Expires months end.
AutoZone. Giving your car a tune-up is like giving it a yearly physical, and AutoZone has everything you need to get the job done right, without the weird hospital smell. With your spark plugs, filters, oil, and helpful advice, AutoZone can keep your car running healthy and strong. With our help, you can always fix your car with confidence. Hoods up, America.
Rev up your tax refund with a tune-up and get a $10 AutoZone gift card by mail when you buy four or more Autolite Iridium XP spark plugs. Restrictions and details in store. AutoZone.
Now at McDonald's, you can mix and match some of your favorite items with their McPick 2 for $2 menu, including their new cheesy mozzarella sticks. I'm loving it.
To the camera, Adam Kaplan from San Fran, host city Super Bowl 50, San Fran, California, 610-632-0975. Our coverage this week, the big game coming up on Sunday, and our coverage all week. Presented by Family and Company Jewelers in Marlton, New Jersey, the Delaware Valley's largest diamond destination. Let's get right back to the phones. A lot of people want to talk, talking about DeMarco, talking about Doug Peterson's comments about the quarterback position, all these issues. We go to John on a cell phone. John, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Hey, gentlemen. How's the weather out there?
It's pretty good. It's not phenomenal.
It warmed up a little bit. High 50s today.
It's decent.
It's by the bay.
I want to start with the quarterback. Unless we want to take a huge step backwards, and waste a season, I think we have too much talent on the roster to do that. You know, we need to get Bradford back. So that's the first thing I want to point out. Second thing is, with DeMarco Murray, I just want to ask you guys, first off, do you think he's lost a step at all?
Joe, you watched the tape, and I remember you thought that he, Jaws made it very clear he wasn't the same player. But I would tell you, if you ran a conventional offense, just with a quarterback under center, let's see what the guy can do. You got 4 years left. Yeah, go ahead.
This is the point I want to make, and I'm happy you said that, because, I think Chip did a pretty good – I mean, he's a horrible personnel guy, obviously, because he's bringing in guys – take Bradford, for example. You're bringing in one of the slowest quarterbacks in the NFL to run a read option offense. And the same thing goes.
He didn't run the read option. He bagged it once he got, because he couldn't run it with Bradford.
Right. You know? But he still never put him under center, which is the issue.
Less than 40 times.
Every single play was out of the shotgun. And, when we first originally got DeMarco Murray, he's a downhill runner. We thought it was going to be great, but it just never worked out. So, with the players that we have on this roster, we need to bring in Bradford, because I think he can give us a good chance to win, because he showed that. Towards the end of the season, he's a pretty good quarterback. So in a conventional system that Peterson's going to bring in, we got a running back that 2 years ago was the leading rusher in the NFL, who, as long as we can sign a couple, draft a couple linemen, and maybe get Alshon Jeffrey in free agency, if that's even possible, I guess. I don't know.
A lot of injury, really talented, but big injuries last season. But here's another thing. Let's be careful with the receiver position, okay? So let's be careful with the receiver position. They can't keep paying players. They just did a really good job of re-signing their own. They got to get out of the free agency business. They really have to. It by and large, does not work for the Eagles. There have been some good examples of it working, but overall, it has not worked very well. They need to get out of that. That's not how you build your football team. You just need to draft better.
Well, clearly.
Bottom line in the story.
I agree with that. John, thanks for the phone call. Hey, listen, let me address the question he led with in the beginning there. I think it's an important question to ask, and essentially what the Eagles coaching staff needs to ask themselves about DeMarco, their opinion. First off, I don't know the answer. Has he lost a step or not? I'm not certain. I think that...
Well, give us your tape study. What you saw, please.
Listen, here's the thing. I think that he looked uncomfortable.
By the way, he told Chip that.
Yeah, I think he looked uncomfortable.
To my understanding.
And that's why, to answer the question, even looking at the tape or even looking at the games on TV or even being at the games, I guess the best analogy I can give you is it's sort of like an athlete that's injured. When an athlete's injured, his performance suffers. You may know that he's injured. You may not know that he's injured, but his performance suffers. So to evaluate what he is difficult because of the injury. I think there may be a parallel here. The uncomfortability for DeMarco may cloud the reality of whether he has or has not lost a step. That's number one.
He wasn't himself.
Yeah, he was not himself. So that I think we all know is the reality of that. Now, I will say this. He had runs last year, even despite not being good East-West and all that they were asking him to do. I mean, I cannot be more clear about the fact that, again, and I say this based on watching games on TV, being there, but in particular from looking at the games in detail with Jaws and NFL Films, I cannot begin to tell you enough how dramatic the missed opportunities were, that he had an opportunity to make a play, to gain 6 yards instead of 2 yards, and he would gain 2 yards. It happened a pretty good amount. And obviously, his yards per carry average was close to 2 yards less than Ryan Matthews, and that's troubling. So, you know, but you also then factor in with the 500 touches from the year before, will he rebound from that? So I guess this is all the way of saying, I'm not certain the answer. I'm concerned. But I think you have no choice but to roll him out there next year in an offense more conventional for his his style and find out. I mean, that's the deal. You're going to find out and you're going to roll the dice and see what happens.
And they're out of this contract. After 2 years, if he's not good, then the cap implications are way less severe. In fact, him and Maxwell, if Murray and Maxwell are with the team this season, which I expect them to be, they don't play well. I think they're both gone after this season.
And remember, Nnamdi's big contract, that was 2 years and out. And that, you know.
And by the way, the difference between Nnamdi's contract and these two, there is offset language, okay? Which means, basically, you know, if they could get the same salary with another team, Eagles don't owe them a dime. That comes that they get the cap, you know, the cap implications are not what they would be. Mm. Remember, Nnamdi, the Eagles have not done a contract since then that didn't have offset language. That way, because remember, Nnamdi got what the Eagles still owed him, plus whatever the Niners gave him, which you can't, you know.
So it sounds like you're saying the best thing of the Nnamdi experience in Philly was that they learned.
They did. No, Jeffrey Lurie gave them, my understanding is the owner said, He said, we're done with this. We're not doing contracts like this. Good for him.
We go to Marv on a cell phone. Marv, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Hey, guys. How you doing tonight?
Marv, what's up, man?
I'm all right. I just wanted to say, number one, first time I ever heard Carson Wentz's name was on the station by a caller that called up and said, you know, he's going to rise throughout the draft and just watch for this guy. And I think it's a little amazing how this guy is, like, really rising up the way, you know, the caller said. But I think that keeping Bradford is a good idea only because he's a good quarterback. And he started to get better at the end of the year. And the fact that the receivers dropped the ball so much, I think he's better than what we actually saw out on the field. So
it's I agree with that. Yeah, I agree with that.
Everybody just calms down just a little bit and see what he has done. I think that, you know, we actually have a good team and we can get better if we make the right moves. I mean, I would like to have Carson Wentz if he's that good, but I'm not going to risk the future and, you know, go down the drain just on a whim. Like, I'd rather get good and get to the Super Bowl possibly than just toss it away.
All right, Marv. No, appreciate the phone call, man. You know, I want to go back to something, Adam, that we played earlier in the show, and we were focused on what Peterson said about the quarterback position. But I want to play this now again, the cut from his time on Comcast, and now really address all the other things he said. Because essentially what he's saying, and this goes to what the caller said, and various callers have said now for a couple of weeks. There's some people that don't believe in the Eagles' future. There's some people that really aren't stoked about the future but think there's enough here to warrant sort of going forward. And if you listen to what Peterson says here, it sounds like he's in the category of believing that there's enough here to go forward and try to build with what's here and build forward. Let's listen to Peterson, then we'll evaluate whether we think his perspective is on point or off point about the talent currently on the Eagles roster.
I think the pieces are there. Great talent on defense. You know, the strength probably of this football team is the defensive line, linebackers. Tremendous talent there. I think the skill guys are as good, if not better, than most of the National Football League. And there's guys there that have made a lot of plays, for, young guys that have made some great plays for this organization. Re-signing a guy like Zach Ertz I was excited to get he and Brent Celek both wrapped up, Lane Johnson wrapped up. So, you know, you start just kind of filling in a hole here, a hole there, get some depth here, you know, get you a young quarterback possibly, and then you just start developing your talent and you see what happens after that.
You know, it's interesting because I think that there's something to be said for what he's saying. They do have pieces, particularly defensively. I don't think they're phenomenally built, obviously. You know, again, I'm concerned they're kind of just in the middle and might be there for a bit. But what's your take, Adam? First off, of what he said, but secondly, of the reality of, do you think it's a strong roster, average roster, below average roster? With a conventional coaching staff, not all that chip garbage.
Well, it's funny. Around the league, the thought was that this roster had underachieved. And with better coaching, it could be a 9 or 10 win team. That's with a good quarterback like Bradford. If the Eagles keep Bradford and he just continues to play like he did late last season, this could be a 10 win team. And this is without Jim Schwartz, who's really good D coordinator. So I think that's possible. But I don't think Sam Bradford's anything better than, at best, a good quarterback. He's never shown it in his career.
Right.
The argument is, well, what if you give him a much better offensive line, better running game? Yeah, he's never had this in his entire career. He's never had it all together. But the concern is, one other thing with his game, pocket awareness is not really great. Body type, you know, he's not rehabbing for the first time in many years, a significant injury. The thing that he needs to do is show that he's strong enough in the pocket. That goes with the protection. So when we sum up Bradford, he's no sure bet if they keep him. Mm-hmm. But to me, he's a good one-year solution. But I still, for the Eagles, if I'm the Eagles and they do use the franchise tag, I'm still drafting a young developmental quarterback. Bradford has not shown anyone that he could be the guy for many years to come. Does he have the potential to be? Yes. But he hasn't shown it yet for a full season.
We'll continue taking your reaction. 610-632-0975. Joe DeCamera, Adam Kaplan. Coverage out here from San Francisco brought to you by Family and Company Jewelers in Marlton, New Jersey, the Delaware Valley's largest diamond destination. We rock the calls next. Rolling on till 8 o'clock. Flyers hockey at that time on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Hey, sports fans, the big game is here, and it's time to get into the action. MyBookie.lv, an industry-leading website, has more odds and props than anyone else online. Have a hunch on who's going to win the coin toss or what color Gatorade the winning coach will be wearing? Log on now. Check out the odds and get into the action. Are you a winner? Put your money where your mouth is. Don't just watch the bowl. Get some skin in the game and be a part of it. With decades of expertise, no hassle payouts, and no fine print, you'll experience the greatest customer service in the business. Guaranteed, there's no better time to join MyBookie than today. Call now, 844-900-2387, or visit MyBookie online. Don't miss out on the biggest game of the year. Call 844-900-2387 or log on to MyBookie.lv. Only the biggest, only the best, only at MyBookie. Sign up today.
We know you love data. Now you can love even more of it because Boost Mobile gives you tons of data at crazy low prices starting at $35 a month. And because we know you always want more, only Boost grows your data free after 3 on-time payments. Get up to an extra 3 gigabytes of high-speed data just for being a customer. That's right. For $35 a month, get unlimited talk, text, and growing data at no extra charge. Plus, Boost always has your back. We're not like other carriers who shut you off if you get busy and forget to make a payment. Don't put up with that. Stay connected and get extra days to pay with Boost. What are you waiting for? Switch to Boost today and get growing data, extra days to pay, and for a limited time, get a free 4G LTE phone. Visit your nearest Boost mobile store today.
$35 plan includes 2 gigabytes of high-speed data per month. Extra 500 megabytes added after 3 on-time payments up to 3 gigabytes maximum. Once applicable, high-speed data depleted speeds reduced to 2G speeds. International extra. Free inbound calls and texts only and only monthly plans 90 days from last successful payment. Free phone ends 4/5/16. Limited to select models while supplies last and only for new monthly activations ported from select carriers. Offer subject to change at any time. Additional restrictions apply. See BoostMobile.com or store for details.
All right, guys, this is it. Denver and Carolina. The big game is Sunday, and the question is, where are you watching the game? If you're like me, it's simple. You want to go to whichever place has the best spread and the best environment. Big screens, diehard football fans, and great food. That's the recipe. So let me tell you where you got to go. Nick's Roast Beef on Cottman Avenue. Nick's will be hosting their annual big game party. And let me tell you, they have an incredible spread. Check this out. The big game buffet includes snow crab leg, roast beef, roast pork, buffalo wings, barbecue chicken, St. Louis style ribs, veggie display, hoagies, French bread pizza, mussels, cheesesteak egg rolls, and their famous build-your-own ice cream sundae bar. Miller Lite drafts and Miller High Life bottles all included. Tickets are only $39.99 each, and the first 100 people get entered into the Knicks block pool for prizes, including a Miller Lite neon light, Miller Lite fridge, and more. Call Knicks to purchase tickets now at 215-745-1292. That's 215-745-1292. It's going down Sunday at Knicks on Cottman. Be there.
Okay, fellas, maybe you're like me when it comes to Valentine's Day. You want to wow her, but you don't know where to begin. Well, if you come into JCPenney for the Valentine's Day jewelry sale, you can get 40 to 60% off select fine jewelry or 40% off diamond rings. Plus, save an extra 20% off with your JCPenney credit card and coupon or 15% off with any other form of payment. Get what she loves at the prices you love. Only at JCPenney's Valentine's Day sale. Coupon required. Valid 2426. Some brands and categories excluded. 20% offer subject to credit approval. Check JCP.com or visit a store for coupon and details.
You wouldn't trust a butcher to babysit your pet pig. You wouldn't trust a lumberjack to repair your antiques. Or a professional wrestler to be your massage therapist. So why would you trust anyone but Amco to fix your car? For over 50 years, we've been the trusted experts in transmission repair. Check engine light on? We'll check it for free. Limited time offer. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See participating centers for full details. AA, MCO.
Ace has the lighting options you want and the answers you need. Right now, four packs of Fight Warm White 60-watt LED bulbs are just $10.99 each after $12 instant savings. Stop by your neighborhood Ace today and save over 50% on four packs of our longest-lasting LED bulbs, now just $10.99 each.
Ace is the place with the helpful hardware, folks.
Ace Rewards members get savings instantly in store. Offer valid on SKU 3516317, now through 229 at participating stores. Store stock only. See store for details.
Control, do you like mortgages? Negative. Over. Do you like rockets? Affirmative. Over. Do you like rocket mortgages? I'm listening. Over. Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans is the first on-demand mortgage machine that turns the entire mortgage process into a fast, powerful, completely online experience.
Copy that, QL1. I'm going to go ahead and push this button in.
3, 2, 1.
Rocket Mortgage at QuickenLoans.com. Push button. Get mortgage.
Rocket.
Equal housing lender. License and offer dates. NMLS Consumer Access. Org number 3030.
Is Philadelphia Sports Talk with Anthony Gargano and the Fanatic Morning Show. Rob Ellis and Harry Mays Midday and the Mike Missanelli Show Afternoon. 97.5 The Fanatic. WPEN Burlington, Philadelphia. And live from the Xfinity Studios. Only from Comcast.
Alright, from San Fran, Jetta Camera, Adam Kaplan, 97.5. The Fanatic Super Bowl 50 coming up on Sunday, Denver and Carolina. Obviously, a lot of conversation going on this week about, well, everything with the Eagles, things all around the league. Again, as we touched on at the top of the show, everybody wants to know about Chip Kelly. It's so funny, man. It is so funny. Everyone in San Francisco asking us about Chip. And, hey, I'm happy to give my opinion, as is Adam. That's the way it goes. 610-632-0975. Adam, we have not yet gotten into, and we'll get right back to the calls in just a moment. We have not yet gotten into the front office.
Oh, ooh, boy. Yeah, I told you. I previewed it last week. I didn't have a real good feel about it. I mean, I didn't have a real good feeling that this was going to get resolved.
Let me just say this. It looks like a completely mismanaged situation.
I told you.
It's hard to imagine that it's not, because when the owner says, we're going to do X, Y, and Z, and then a couple weeks later, the outcome is A, B, and C. It's like, well, you didn't achieve the objective you said you were going to do, so you kind of failed. Matter of fact, it looks like you totally failed. What do you make of this?
This one's on Jeffrey Lurie. Here's why. This is kind of what I alluded to last week. When he made a decision to fire the head coach and the VP of football operations, he clearly didn't think about, okay, if I'm going to do this, who's going to be Ed Manowitz's replacement? He didn't have anyone in mind, clearly, because they didn't bring anyone in. I mean, they've been hired. Not only are they not hiring anyone, as I told you last week, teams don't let people out before the draft. The rare exception, sort of an outlier with Tom Gamble's situation with his father, Harry, whose health was failing. That's what big reason why Gamble wanted to come back to Philly.
Yeah, just to be
clear. That never happens.
Just to be
clear,
you're talking about when he went from San Fran to the Eagles.
To Philly, right.
Not when he was fired.
Right, the Niners did right by Gamble, and they love him. He's back here in San Fran, but these things never happen. They just, teams don't let people out before the draft because they don't want them to give information to another team.
All right, here's what, though, and I get you, but here's what confuses me a bit. There is front office turnover in the NFL after seasons occur.
Not a lot. Usually happens after the draft, but yes.
Including the GM? I mean, don't GM switch?
They do, but they generally get fired and hired in May. However,
after the draft,
now, occasionally, as we saw in Tennessee, Rustin Webster's contract was not renewed, so they hired John Robinson from the Buccaneers. And with the Lions, they cleared out the front office in the middle of the season, which like never happens.
Right.
Again, another outlier. You just don't see these things happen.
Is the Eagles' struggles to find a guy that's good and that they can secure, is it a problem that, as you reported last week, that they were not interested in going down the road of naming someone a, quote, general manager, and so that moves for these people that they were targeting would be more lateral in nature, and therefore they couldn't attract someone without the higher title to get him to change organizations?
Well, first of all, to your point, and this actually, we should probably talk about this quickly, a team can block an executive unless it's a general manager position with control. Now, you could call a VP of football operations, you could hire someone for that role, but you can only block them if the role doesn't have control. If they would hire someone who would have some sort of control, then you really can't block him. But in most cases, these guys are going to be blocked before the draft. Again, it's rare that you let someone who you really like, Joe, walk. Mm-hmm. Now, the guy that they interviewed from Pittsburgh, he's in his mid-30s, but he's no college evaluation experience. It's all from the pro personnel side. And the interesting thing about that one is that guy's a little bit lower than mid-level as far as responsibility. So Jeffrey wants to force collaboration here, and that's fine. But they're going to have to really think this thing through. But mm-hmm. Roseman went on record, and I think he's right. You just can't force. You just can't bring someone in just to do it before the draft. Don't do that. That was a great point by Roseman. Don't do that.
But what's
to hire the best guy after the draft and go for it?
And I agree. You want to have quality, not quantity. I'm with you.
And rush.
But
you don't want to rush it.
You don't want to rush. But the structure currently is. I mean, just lay it out for
us. It's not great.
Hold on.
I mean, it's not good right now.
Let's just detail this for the audience. And you have a great handle on this. Mm-hmm. Jeffrey Lurie is the owner of the franchise.
Correct.
Don Smolinski's the president. Howie Roseman's whatever.
Unlike Joe Banner, Don is not involved with football operations at all.
Howie Roseman is whatever the heck his title is, which is what?
I think it's like director of football operations, right, something
whatever.
Like that.
So
he's like an overseer right
we
now.
We all know Howie's Howie. Okay. Yeah. Somewhere in there you got Doug Peterson as head coach.
Mm-hmm.
What is in between Howie Roseman and Doug Peterson?
Nobody. There's no one else left.
What?
And Manowitz is gone,
cool.
So there's no one left.
Let me phrase it another way. So in the football front office,
mm-hmm.
who would be the second most influential voice behind Howie Roseman,
uh-huh.
and aside from the track of Doug Peterson, who has influence because he's the coach? So who is the next guy standing?
Tom Donahoe, I guess. There's no one else left.
And who's behind Donahoe?
Donahoe?
This is the presidential line of succession.
There's no one.
Where are we
there's,
going
just, there's no one left. I told you. I said this is the only NFL team, and maybe in certainly recent history, that doesn't have a general manager a VP of football operations and a college scouting director. It's just like I said, their front office is in turmoil. As far as I'm concerned, you can't go forward. Now, they're going to have to because they made this decision, and there's really nothing they could do about it right now other than give more people responsibility. Some of their scouting staff, their pro-scouting staff, Luke Clark, who does a great job, who's their pro-director, give him responsibility.
So would he be next?
But again, he's a pro guy, and I don't know. He wasn't hired by Roseman, so I don't know really how he sees him, but very well respected around the league. The fact of the matter is, after the draft, I don't care whatever there's on their mind, that the number one thing is to fix his front office. Yeah. I like the direction. We mentioned this briefly, but I want to go into this for a second here. That's the good teams. The good teams extend their own players, and they find a way to do it. And another little nugget here, I got to look at all their contracts. I like the structure. Really like the structure. The way that they structure these contracts, it's pretty good. The signing bonuses aren't high, which is very key, because if you cut the player in the next couple of years, you don't get a lot of dead money. They've now gone back to the way they used to structure contracts. Last year's were a disaster. It's just the way they did it. Yes, they can get it after 2 years.
Was that Chip's fault? Was that because of
Chip had him? Listen, Chip, this is what I know. Chip gave a mandate. I want these players. I don't know. I don't know exactly what he said. I just know that more or less he said, we're going to play man coverage, man press. We're going to Byron Maxwell get the job done. I mean, he just get the job done. Make sure where this happens. But they're going to go back to doing the things the right way here with contracts. And I said last week that Roseman's a deal maker. He's a deal maker. I mean, he got these things done. But I'll tell you what, he's got a lot of work to do here. Jeffrey and Roseman, they've got a lot of work to do. There's so much they need to do with this football operation.
Here's what's, amongst other things, frustrating. We as an Eagles fan base, right? Me, the listeners, fans, right? We're adjusting our minds to the reality of what is necessary for the Eagles. They've got to draft well. They've got to draft better than they have for 10 years. They have to develop players. They have to move away from NFL free agency because it has consistently not been a good model for success, not just
for
talking about
team.
The Eagles,
yeah.
Going across the lake.
It's on how you do it.
It's a model to add a T.O. or Javon Kearse when you have the opportunity. But otherwise, look, the Eagles have had some hits. Troy Vincent was a hit. There have been a couple, but generally speaking, it hasn't been a very quality thing for the Eagles or others. So it's like, okay, well, it comes down to the draft. Great. And the draft's coming up in 2 months, whatever, 3 months. You want to feel that they are stocked in their preparation process with greatness in the front office to draft future great players.
Mm-hmm.
It's what you want to feel.
Mm-hmm.
And so in the absence of structure and in the absence of, people that you feel have handle to do a great job, it's just concerning. It may work out. Howie Roseman maybe can be a one-man show. Maybe there's a collaboration with the scouts and the coaches, and whatever.
Mm-hmm.
It might work out, but it just feels off.
Well, listen, it's a little barren. I mean, I think the best way you look at it, you go, okay, well, where are
barren.
Your... Yeah, but where are... No, but from an executive standpoint,
right.
Where are your guys?
Yeah.
I do like their college scouting staff is really good. Like, known in the league as actually being very good.
Okay.
Pro staff, pretty good.
You're making me feel better.
But here's the thing. They're only evaluators, so they're not decision makers. That's why I said, where's your college scouting director? Eagles didn't have one after Anthony Patch left a couple of years ago. Manowitz is really strong on the college side. Kind of, he oversaw the college staff, which he can do. Although he's a young guy, he did a good job of that. But the thing is, where are the big, strong collaborators? Where's your college director, your director of player personnel who oversees the pro staff and the college staff? Where's that guy? They don't have one. So this is not the way things are done in great organizations. The Eagles need to get this taken care of. It's great that they're resigning their own players. There's some energy there that's good, but they've got to get the front office fixed. And it's a shame that, you got over 3 months from the draft and you still don't have it straightened out. You're not going to because he made this decision. I think it's the right one to wait because, again, you don't want to force anything. But to answer your point, they've got the good scouts here, but I'm a little concerned with the decision-making process for the draft because I don't know who. Obviously, it's going to be Roseman, to answer your question earlier. It's, who else is going to make decisions? It's got
to
be Roseman.
Has to be, yeah.
There's no one else left.
I guess I just look at this from a big picture, and I say this, that, and again, the success or future of all this will be determined based on the success or future of how they draft and success or future of their wins and losses in future years. That's the reality of the matter. But I think we all know enough about sports and sports history and Philadelphia sports to know that there are pivot points that in many ways define futures. And we look at, for instance, the Phillies 2012, 2013, 2014, all the way through the summer, halfway through 2015, where they hadn't made the commitment to start, you know, like new young players and development and all that. And you just say, man, they wasted years. They wasted time. Can they eventually get back on the right track? Will they? Well, sure they will. But it might be 2019. It might be 2022. Who the heck knows when it's going to be? You have these opportunities, and it just feels like it wouldn't surprise me, and I'm sure a lot of the listeners would agree, if the Eagles do struggle over the next 2 to 3 to 4 years, which is a possibility, I think a lot of us could look back and say, boy, you know what was a mess? You know what was bad? That whole 2015 to 2016 transition, they fired Chip, which is fine. They probably should have. But that whole thing where it was going to be this, but then it became that, and it was supposed to be this guy, but then it became nobody, and it's sort of Howie, but it's not Howie, but it's actually Howie.
Clarity.
It's like, yeah. I just feel like we're going to look back at this 3-4 years from now and say, man, that was poorly handled.
Okay.
And you know what I'm saying? That's what I feel.
Okay, now taking that point and going forward, in the draft, what's the collaboration going to be? It's Howie and the scouts. But Howie's going to turn the card in, so to speak. That's the term that scouts use. The person who makes the call turns the card in. And I know Howie watched tape over the last year, but you got to rely on the guys who are out on the road every day. Okay? They're scouting staff. Well, they're the guys who do all the work.
They're critical.
Yeah, so that's going to have to be it because there's no scouting director, there's no personnel director. This is not really ideal, but let me tell you something. They got to get the first round pick right. Cannot fail here. Because that player will obviously goes into what they do with Bradford.
They need players.
Whether it's going to be a quarterback.
Yeah.
Let me ask you a question. If the draft took place tomorrow, what are you doing?
I'm not sure the answer to that.
Well, you asked me this last week.
I know there's 3 or 4 right. positions that are the most important positions
let's go.
To get.
For them, quarterback?
Obviously.
Second?
Well, I'm not saying it's second. In whatever order, quarterback, whether it's Bradford or
someone else. Resolved, yes.
To get resolved. Yeah. Quarterback, offensive line.
Guard.
Yeah, but
you're not going to take that in the first round.
Yeah. I still feel they really, if they have an opportunity to draft a great cornerback, I would do it.
I agree with you.
Because I don't believe Maxwell and Rowe will lock it down for the next 4 years.
Well, they also need athletes.
I think there's a decent chance that one of them fails. And so on that basis, if I have a chance to get a great corner in a passing leg, I'm going to try to get a great corner. And I guess that they would be my main three. I mean, I think about safety, but I feel cornerback, offensive line, and quarterback are the three that stand out to me.
And one thing I want to make perfectly clear. If they're at 13 and the best, we're not even getting to draft talk here generally, but I just want to make one point. You still need to take the best player, and I want to just correct something I said earlier. Yes, I would take a quarterback there, but if the best player on the board is a defensive end, you take the defensive end. That's one thing that I've learned. When teams miss, when they don't go by value, if you're taking, it's like when the Eagles trade up for Jerome McDougal, because he was the second best defensive end in the draft. Guess what? The problem is the drop-off between the number one and the number two guy was so significant, they didn't get that. They didn't understand that. You can't just take a player because you need that position. If you take the best player at a position of need, then you'll probably be right. And defensive end still is a need. And Connor Barwin is getting up there. He's now 30. He's got a couple good years left. It's not definite that he's playing defensive end every down. He could still stand him up a linebacker.
Right.
You know, throwing fastballs. Andy Reid always said, I always believed in that. I think that's a great way to look at it. He was going to run at 43. I told you, as soon as Jim Schwartz got the job, what it was going to be. He runs his wide nine front. He puts up numbers. He did a home run job with the Bills. I'm not worried about the defense. Cornerback, I agree with you. I don't agree with Doug Peterson said. I don't think the linebacker crew is that great. Jordan Hicks. He's not getting that protection in the 34 defense. Now he's playing inside in a 43.
Kendricks has to deliver.
He's got to play, yes.
Has to deliver.
So let's. Do they have some depth? Yes. But do they have great players? No. I'm not agreeing with Doug Peterson there. But the front four should be fantastic. Really will be good.
610-632-0975. Jonah Cameron, Adam Kaplan. We're out in San Fran. Of course, the big game coming up on Sunday. Our coverage out here all week, presented by Family and Company Jewelers in Marlton, New Jersey, the Delaware Valley's largest and, simply put, best diamond destination. We go back to the phones with Dennis on a cell phone. Dennis, what's going on, man?
Hey, Adam and Joe. How you guys doing today?
What's up, man?
Hey, yeah. You know, Adam, you were talking before the break there. You know, I don't mean to question you or whatnot. You're saying all these negative things about Sam Bradford. And then before that, you were stating, you know, you want him to be here. Where Joe...
Well, I was just putting out all... But I was putting out all the good stuff and all the bad stuff. He's no sure thing. That's kind of... Although I want to see more from him because he closed the season very well. He's no sure bet. Let's be honest,
so Adam,
about this.
So my question, yeah. You're a smart guy, right? You know, so why in the world? why in the
not
world?
Not as dumb as I look, but go ahead.
I know, but why in the world would you extend Sam Bradford on a
I'm not. I would only use a franchise tag. I would never give him an extension. No way in hell.
Every time he puts a signature on a contract, he gets hurt the next year. It always happens that way. It happened in St. Louis when he signed the contract. Towards ACL the following year.
Well, he's only signed one.
He's only signed one contract. Man.
Yeah, but okay. Dennis, he obviously has gotten injured a lot, but he's only signed a contract once.
When was the last time a team traded a quarterback and that quarterback that they traded for has won a Super Bowl?
Peyton might win. And Dennis, thanks for the call. It wasn't a trade. But Peyton is a guy in 3 days that might win a Super Bowl. And again, it wasn't a trade, but. Last guy to get traded for to win a Super Bowl? Steve Young was traded for by San Francisco.
Technically, but that's like so extreme. Steve Young had no idea how to play with the Bucks. As he would tell you.
Was Brad Johnson traded for or signed with Tampa Bay? I mean,
I'm sure he was. Whether it's traded, it's generally released. Like Kurt Warner, when the Giants released Kurt Warner, everyone thought he was done.
Right.
He looked done. I can't remember. Yeah. In fact, I don't remember whether he was released or just signed as a free agent. But, no, I was just saying earlier in the show, listen, I want to see more from Bradford because I love the way he finished the season.
Right.
But the guy's never done it over a full season, so he's no sure thing. And there's no way I'd go long-term with this guy. The previous regime wanted to go long-term with this guy. I thought that was absurd. I didn't agree with that at all.
Chip really wanted to?
Absolutely
he
true.
He really wanted to?
1,000% true. Just telling you. Talk to people close to it. I didn't agree with it, but...
Thank God he was let go. Thank God he was fired.
I don't understand that. I never got this answer. Okay, real quick, because I want to get into this.
Right.
Why was it so important? Yes, they made a trade for him. I get it. When you're giving up a second-round pick and Nick Foles, you better want to have this guy there long-term, sure. Or at least more than a year. But here's the problem. The guy's missed so much time. Why would you not... When evaluate this guy, then decide if whether you want to, you know, who cares if he gave up a second round pick?
16 more games. Yeah. Listen, if he hadn't shown so much signs of rust in the beginning and you felt this was a true evaluation in 2015, then maybe you could feel you're on solid footing to make a determination. But as I've said many times, I think it's echoed by Adam, you, and so many callers and so many listeners and so many people throughout the Delaware Valley. The combination of rust and the inadequacies of what was around him and the fact that he got hurt for a portion all led to a unique set of circumstances where even though we saw him play for 12 games or so, 13, I just don't feel that there's solid footing to say definitively this guy is, he's the guy to go with.
That's a great way to say it. Let me just finish with this.
He got a shot, but I just don't know.
Someone texted me who's very smart and said, don't forget Bradford now will be able to build his body up. Because he's not coming back from a surgery. The other part with Sam was that I think physically he needed to get stronger, and they're going to keep sports science. That's not going away. They're going to keep the Sean Halls and some other people. The two guys Chip brought in from Oregon are no longer with the football team, but they're going to keep sports science. Let's see what Bradford does if they keep him and build his body up. But to sum this up, Bradford's no sure thing. He left me wanting more. I would like to see more of him.
Mm-hmm.
I just can't see any way that they go more than 1 year if they keep him.
Let's go to Lance on a cell phone. Lance, you're on 97.5, The Fanatic. What's going on, man?
Hi, Joe. Hi, Adam. I had a couple things. One, I was looking at, I called a couple weeks ago and said you could look at the roster at every position and you can make a case that there's a hole at almost every position. And in the draft, if Jalen Smith falls to 13, would you consider taking him, considering Hicks has an injury issues in the past in college and the pros? Kendricks has regressed the last 2 years, and you really don't know what you have at Sam linebacker or with Kiko if you would go that route.
Well, first of all, at linebacker, you just can't assume anything, because Hicks played very well, as you said, but also has an injury history. So I'm not locked into any position, but I would say this: if they don't retain Bradford, and they think that one of the three quarterbacks is a franchise quarterback and is there, you take the quarterback. That's just the way it is, and you never look back and don't worry about what anyone else thinks. You know, when the Giants made that trade to get Eli Manning, it was highly criticized. They gave up a lot. Eli's not Peyton. Ernie Corsi never worried about the criticism. You just have to be right. You just have to be right. If you're wrong, it could cost you your career as a general manager.
Yeah, sure could.
That pick, this pick, number 13 overall, not only will it define Howie Roseman and his tenure with the Eagles, you said it earlier, it could either bring you forward or set you back for several years.
Big time. Joe DeCamera, Adam Kaplan from San Francisco. Of course, sort of Super Bowl coverage, but a lot of Eagles talk for obvious reasons. We roll on. More next. Your phone calls. Flyers hockey coming up at the top of the hour. Keep it here on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Celebrating Black History Month on 97.5 The Fanatic. Today's big moment is brought to you by A&M Burke's Tax Service.
In April of 1974, Hank Aaron did the unthinkable. He hit his 715th home run, surpassing Babe Ruth as the all-time home run leader. Hammer and Hank went on to retire with a .305 career batting average and 755 home runs, a revered record that stood strong for 33 years.
Here in Philadelphia, A&M Burke's Tax Services has been serving the African-American community over 25 years and continues to offer personal service at low fees. A&M Burke's Tax Services specializes in individual, small business, and corporate filings. Their services are open all year long and for any tax and accounting needs you may have. With three convenient locations around the area, they are sure to offer the best service. For more information, call 215-567-3300 or visit their website at www.burketax.com. Mention this advertisement when you talk to A&M Burke's Tax Services and receive $25 off your next service. A&M Burke's Tax Services. The tax season is here.
Jack Frost Ski Area is 100% open with skiing, snowboarding, and snow tubing. There's something for everyone. Are you ready to ski and snowboard? Jack Frost and Big Boulder Ski Areas have it all. The snowmaking angels have been working hard to make winter happen at JFBB. Visit jfbb.com 24/7 for the latest conditions, live webcams, and sign up for weekly email blasts. Want a cheap ticket? Of course you do. So don't forget, you can buy discounted tickets online in advance. Just go to jfbb.com/shop and save up to 30%. JFBB and Lukoil have big savings for you at Lukoil stations everywhere. All you have to do is go to any participating Lukoil station, fuel up, and pick up your discount vouchers. Two mountains, three great deals, including buy one snow pass, get one free on Sundays. For more info, go to jfbb.com. Jack Frost, Big Boulder, where the snow comes first.
Hey guys, John Marks here. Are you losing your hair? Yeah, I know it's a bummer. And you've probably heard me talk about Dr. Glatt's hair restoration procedure. Well, guess what? I have a confession to make. About a year and a half ago, I noticed that I was losing my hair. So I reached out to my good friend, Dr. Paul Glatt, and inquired about his renowned hair restoration procedure. And I decided to take the plunge. Now, a year later, I want to tell everybody about the amazing results. Guys, I'm so happy about the way I look. My hair looks great, and you'd never know I had the procedure. Dr. Glatt and his team have over 20 years of experience with hair restoration. His office is the longest-running neograft office in the Philadelphia area, and it really does show in his work. I don't have that unsightly scar from my procedure. You would never know I had it done. Gain your youth and confidence back. And guys, this is your appearance we're talking about. Trust the doc in Philly with the most experience in this field and call the guy that I trusted with my hair, Dr. Paul Glatt. 610-980-4000. That's 610-980-4000. Or online at drglatt.com.
Valentine's Day is next week, and Pro Flowers is offering an amazing deal. 100 stunning blooms of love, plus a free glass vase for just $19.99. And this week only, we will also include chocolates for free. Go to proflowers.com, click on the blue radio microphone in the upper right corner, and enter the secret code 5000. But hurry, this incredible deal expires this Friday. Order now from Pro Flowers to get huge savings, plus pick the delivery date, and it's guaranteed. 100 colorful blooms of love sent
plant fresh from the fields, guaranteed to stay fresh and beautiful for at least 7 full days. That's 100 stunning blooms of love, a free glass vase, and free chocolates this week only for just $19.99. And this incredible offer expires this Friday. Valentine's Day is next week. Don't wait. The only way to get this amazing deal is to visit proflowers.com. Click on the blue microphone in the upper right corner and enter the secret code 5000. That's proflowers.com, secret code 5000.
Call Ace Public Adjusters. Property loss, call the boss. He'll get you paid. Your first call to solve it all. Call Ace Public Adjusters.
Leaky pipes, wind damage, hail, fire, even an overflowing toilet. There are so many ways your home can be damaged, but only one way to make sure you get fair compensation for your damages. Ace Public Adjusters. Ace fights for you, dealing with your insurance company to make sure you get all the money you're entitled to. Ace gets you paid, just as we have for thousands of homeowners. You'll get the money you deserve, generally much more than you would by dealing with the insurance company yourself. And we don't get paid until you get paid. Ace Public Adjusters. 215-624-4911. That's 215-624-4911. Or online at acepublicadjusters.com.
Finally, a local news app made for you. Download the NBC 10 app to your phone today and get only the information you want. Simple, straightforward, easy to navigate. Get the latest breaking news stories quicker. Stories that impact Pennsylvania, New Jersey, and Delaware. Plus, first alert weather for your neighborhood, your work, even your children's school, with custom alerts sent right to your phone. Download the new NBC 10 app today.
Tonight, you must see NBC's newest hit that everybody is talking about, You, Me, and the Apocalypse.
Oh, man. Critics give it 4 out of 4 stars. Mm-hmm.
Seriously, check out this cast. Uh-huh. Rob Lowe, Will and Grace's Megan Mullally, and Jenna Fisher from The Office.
You, Me, and the Apocalypse is hilarious.
And it's followed by The Blacklist.
Liz is pregnant, and it's Tom's baby.
What?
Can we trust him?
And then it is a shocking episode of Shades of Blue.
Snap! NBC Thursday is one hot night of television.
Watch NBC 10 tonight starting at 8.
Why pick just one? You can have it all. Unlimited cheesesteak, pizza, and snacks. Wait, did I mention the unlimited cheesesteak? The Flyers All-for-One Pack gives you a ticket to the game with all-inclusive food and beverage for just $79, with upgrade options available. Reserve your seats now by visiting PhiladelphiaFlyers.com or by calling 215-218-HUCK.
Hey, it's Jared Camera. Everyone can have the smile of their dreams if they seek out the right specialist. Dr. Tom Balshi and Dr. Glenn Wolfinger at the PI Dental Center in Fort Washington are two globally respected board-certified prosthodontists who have designed and rebuilt smiles for so many people for over 25 years. Their trademarked teeth in a day procedure makes it all happen in record time. They are game changers. Call the PI Dental Center and schedule a consultation. 215-646-6334. PI Dental Center. 215-646-6334. Set a camera, Adam Kaplan, coverage out here in San Francisco. Big game coming up on Sunday. It's all presented by Family and Company Jewelers, Marlton, New Jersey, Delaware Valley's largest diamond destination. We go back to the phones with Pat on the cell phone. Pat, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Yo, Patrick.
Paul,
how are you, sir?
Good, buddy. How are you?
Listen, good, man.
Joe, Adam, one thing we do have, we can talk for sure, is we have a head coach who was a quarterback. We have an offensive coordinator who was a quarterback. So you know they're going to bring in new verbiage with it. That takes me out of the Bradford race. That means he's starting all over again.
No, he's not. He had West Coast with Pat Shurmur in St. Louis.
He knows
the verbiage.
But they said the verbiage in – they said the other day that Andy's verbiage and Pat Shurmur's verbiage, even though they coached under each other, I still more comfortable to draft the quarterback – in the first round, if you're comfortable with the guy, if not the second round, and build this guy up under those guys, under that tutelage, just like Peterson did, and then reel him out in the 10th game or whatever. And I'm comfortable with that and bringing in a quarterback like Daniels out of Kansas City.
Chase Daniel,
And I would go that route.
I would do. I like that. Paul, you're on the right track here. And, if it's going to be a first-round pick, yeah, go ahead. I'd bring Daniel on for at least a year.
Right. And what else I hear people say is, I think DeMarco Murray was running on dead legs. You break the record the year before, you're running so many carries. I don't think we used him right. I think he will be in that downhill coming off last year. I think he will be a viable running back.
Go ahead. Oh, we lost the call. Well, I sure hope so. I certainly hope that he's right there. Let's go to Pat on his cell phone. Pat, what's going on, man? You're on the Fanatic.
That's Pat. There we go.
It's Pat. It's like
Patrick.
Saturday
go ahead. It's Pat.
All right.
Androgynous Pat.
We lost him.
Go ahead, Pat.
Go ahead, man.
What?
What's up,
you're up, dude? Go.
Hello?
All right. We're here, dude.
All right, he's gone. We go to Joe in Albany.
Is that Gary Delabate? Hello.
Joe, you're on 97.5, The Fanatic. Joe, go ahead, man.
Hey, what's up?
Go ahead,
can
dude.
You guys hear me?
We can hear you. What's up, man? Right, go ahead.
It's Jay. What's up, man? This sounds stupid. Can you guys put me back on hold for a sec?
Sure. Let's go to Donald on a cell phone. Don, you are on 97.5, The Fanatic.
We're good, man. We're out here. We're in sourdough area, buddy. We love the sourdough. Go ahead.
Okay, I want to talk draft, and it's going to be radical.
Let me hear it.
Are you ready?
Yes.
Put your seatbelt on. Take your number one pick, move it all the way up to either Green Bay's pick or Denver's pick, and tie them for a second and fourth round pick. Your first pick, which is going to be late, you get a defensive lineman, the best defensive lineman to fill in for Thornton, because I don't think Thornton's going to be on the team.
But he would be a backup. Even if he comes back, he's a backup, just so we're clear.
Okay, your second-round pick is very important also. I like a corner/safety that runs a 4-3. That's a kid Bush from Miami or a Jackson from the University of Houston, who's a very good shutdown corner. My third-round pick, I like that kid from Akron. I was watching the East-West Shrine game. I think he had more tackles than anybody in the game. My next third-round pick would be an offensive guard. My fourth-round pick, I got to go quarterback.
Well, first of all, I don't know if there'd be a quarterback there. We'll get into draft talk at another point.
Don,
but
thanks for the call.
The fact of the matter is, this first pick for the Eagles just sets up everything. And it won't be a quarterback if they keep Bradford. So we'll have to see what happens. Then after that, guard to me, I'd rather hit in free agency someone who could hold down the fort, draft, and by the way, also draft a guard. And then I like your point earlier about a corner. They need athletes. They don't have athletes at cornerback right now. Arc Rose, a very interesting player. He really is. He's a great kid, a hard worker, he's got good size. He still needs a lot of work, but he did get better late in the season. Now, Byron Maxwell, he did improve, but he'll never be what the player that they thought he would be. I'm positive of that. I'm telling you, he doesn't have the great wiring to be great. There's just something in his DNA where you go, I don't think he gets it. I just don't think he understands what it's like to be great. And in Seattle, he had help. When you play cover three, you're always having help. You're rarely out in that island. But the Eagles are going to have him for another season. Then, to me, I agree. I think cornerbacks, you got to look at that.
A little flavor of Super Bowl week as we're out here, obviously, and talking a lot tonight about the Eagles. But, Adam, you've been out here for a couple days now.
Since Monday,
been out here since yesterday. What has stood out to you out here? What's going on?
In general sense?
Anything. Like, I'll give you a for instance.
From non-football?
I got to tell the audience.
Good.
I feel very bad about this, but I cheated on the Eagles last night.
Your Eagles? What did you do?
I had a 30. You were there. We talked to Deion Branch for 30 minutes.
Oh, yeah. One of the highlights. Certainly, that was great. I knew Deion a little bit. That was great.
We're at a party. It's a great party. We're hanging out. There's Deion Branch. We're in, you know him. I'm introduced to him. Really nice guy. Having a great conversation with him. And all I can think is, this guy is largely responsible for the Philadelphia Eagles never having won a Super Bowl. I mean, I'm talking to the guy. He's a nice dude. We're talking football.
Sharp guy.
We're talking life.
Yeah.
But I can't get away from the fact that this guy was the MVP of Super Bowl 39. He had all those third down conversions in the third and fourth quarter that kept drives alive. I felt very uncomfortable.
Just to hear him talk about Tom Brady and the commitment that he and Brady had to get on the same page was... Yeah. Joe and I probably talked about for about 45 minutes, and it could have been longer, but we had to leave. And I'll tell you what, and I've known Deion for a couple of years, that was one of the best conversations in my 16 years of talking to players. Yeah. I got to tell you, we got into so many subjects. Fascinating. You know, it's funny because I didn't know where we were going in this conversation. We were like, wow. So we kept asking him. Three of us went back and forth. It was great. This party was right on in the wharf area for those people who have been in San Francisco before. It's beautiful. Now, it's very cold here. For those of you who have been in San Francisco, in the winter, it's rarely over 60. It's usually windy, and it's cold. Last night, it was in the 40s, but they have the heated lamps so you could be outside. This party was, Trey Aikman was there, Steve Young, and so forth. But it was really good to talk to him, and I really enjoyed that. And Deion, you know, Joe, you know this, I'm sure. Had he not suffered that ACL tear, he probably would have been one of those players during his career. You'd say, boy, he was one of the best receivers, but he was never the same.
Right, right.
And that controversial trade to Seattle.
He lit the Eagles up, and that was only his third year. He lit the Eagles up. All right, other things, sights and sounds. I'm getting text messages from a friend here during the show. I'm seeing Chip right now. I'm like, oh, man, I don't want anything to do with Chip. Bye-bye.
He doesn't want Chip?
No, I'm saying a friend of mine just said Chip's hanging out where she is right now.
Huh.
What else? There's so much going on here. We'll have Jaws' party tonight. A lot of Hall of Famers will be there. To me, Montana's royalty. I mean, there's
saw him a lot today. Yeah,
creme de la creme. And to me, when you see Joe Montana, you know, there's different levels you see. But when you see Montana, that's a whole different. To me, that's the highest level.
It is. You know, what's interesting about the quarterbacks. The big thing about Radio Row is you see Warren Moon, you see Joe Montana, then you see Charles Haley. It's like Charles Haley. You know, obviously he's had issues with mental illness, and he's doing great now. I didn't quite realize how great of a football player he was.
Oh, he was good, man.
And he's a guy that tormented the Eagles for years. That position, when you have, when you talk to personnel people, they always say, give me a right defensive end, give me a left tackle, and I'm good when I run a 43 defense. And when you've got that speed rusher like Charles Haley, they're special. Which brings me just to a quick topic here on Vinnie Curry and kind of what the Eagles are doing with their defensive line and so forth. When you have depth on the defensive line at 43 defense, Vinnie Curry is going to fit really well in this Jim Schwartz defense because the wide nine is all about getting upfield. Mm-hmm. He is fast, and he's got strong enough hands and incredible energy. And people are like, wow, he hasn't really done well for a while. He hasn't been given a chance. He was in the wrong scheme. He only played really a nickel because of the 34, but I kind of like the direction, just to sum it up, the Eagles are going with these contracts, but they've got a lot of work to do going forward.
Speaking of Super Bowl history, I heard Bill Walsh say one time that other than a quarterback, the next most important thing is an edge rusher that can get after the quarterback.
Haley.
And Haley obviously represented that. And I think it's clear when you look at a team like Denver, last week or 2 weeks ago, whenever it was, in the AFC Championship game, the performance from Von Miller and DeMarcus Ware was an all-timer. Huh. I mean, those two guys flat out dominated the football game.
Watch Miller bend. Unbelievable how he gets around the edge. When you have those guys, and Denver runs at 34, but when you have that, you're set. It's like having a great quarterback. You're set for years.
It's big. So
teams don't get to it.
Just to be clear, so they're kind of better than Marcus Smith, right?
Marcus Smith. Someone asked me the other day, will he make the roster? Okay, buddy. Thank you for that question.
All right. Prediction, Super Bowl.
Panthers. So they're the best team right now. 6 points is a lot.
It is. It's a little high.
But I like the Panthers to win the game, and they're not the sexy team, but if that happens, great for Sean McDermott, who should have had a chance to be a head coach.
Strong football team. I think Carolina also. We'll have more coverage tomorrow as we roll on out here from San Francisco. Again, our coverage all week presented by Family and Company Jewelers, Marlton, New Jersey, the Delaware Valley's largest diamond destination. Thank you to James Seltzer producing the show back in Philadelphia in the studio. All the great calls we've had tonight. More coverage tomorrow. Stay tuned for Flyers hockey. The game coming up at the top of the hour. Pre-game show in a matter of minutes. Have a great rest of the night. Talk to you tomorrow from San Fran once again on 97.5 The Fanatic.